Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to SJS on this Wednesday. Great to have you with us. We're going to be talking business today. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, knowing that Kevin is safely ensconced in the Sunbury Broadcast Center. I have the door unlocked today, feeling good, feeling comfortable here at the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. They're located 7 miles south of Salem's Grove, Routes 11 and 15. A little bit later, Kevin and I are going to talk about some of the great things going on, by the way, at Hilscher's General Store, the 21st Century General Store. Today, we're going to focus on the business side of what's going on in sports, especially after the recent success at the U.S. Open at Marion. The question is whether it will go back. It took 32 years to bring it back to the 6,994-yard layout. Will it take another 32 years to get back there? And we'll also talk about the NFL's possible expansion to 18 games and what that means ticket-wise and corporate-wise. We're going to bring back our old friend, Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Tony's going to join us from Los Angeles in just a bit to talk about all these issues and much more and give fans an idea of the business side and what the business side means, and also put into perspective why certain things happen in sports the way they do. That's why we bring Tony in, because he'll give you that perspective. All that and more coming up. But first, above the noise, here is Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout.
Your dream car, a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, just $33.99. And get ready for these deals on a 2008 Honda Fit HB Mansport, a 2011 Ford Escape 4-wheel drive XLT, a 2010 Chevy Traverse 4-wheel drive 4-door LT, a 2012 Ford Econoline Wagon, 2011 Chevy Equinox, and a four-door 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited four-wheel drive Sahara, and a 2012 Ford F-150 four-wheel drive Super Crew 145 Raptor. Feels so good that you have to call for our lowest price promise. 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
So Daytona's getting a $400 million makeover, huh?
Right after the race in July.
Wow, that's really exciting. All right, let's...
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of makeover. And you know what? They're doing it kind of like what a lot of the football stadiums are doing. They're trying to make the concourses different, and as we've talked about many times, trying to make it more fan-friendly.
Of course. That's what you have to do. You have to do that. Without a doubt, you have to do that. So,
how many games did you have the NBA Finals going?
7.
Okay, I knew you had this. I knew you had the Spurs, but I didn't remember how many games you said.
7 games. So I don't think I'll back off now.
I think you're safe. Although there was a moment last night where you might have been getting a little nervous.
No, I don't really get that nervous. I only listened to it last night. I didn't see it. The Spikes Crosscutters game went 11 innings last night.
That's right. You went the bonus round.
I didn't get back till 1 in the morning. I did listen to the last 7 minutes, and then I listened to all of overtime. Last 7 minutes of regulation and all of overtime. Manu Ginobili had an opportunity last night. If he'd hit a free throw, it would have made a big difference, he and Kawhi Leonard both. There certainly was some in and out of the lineup late with Tim Duncan and with Tony Parker. Ginobili on the Spurs heading to Game 7.
We don't think we played a great game, but we were in a great situation. We have them where we wanted, very close games, down the stretch, up two with two free throws and a few seconds to go, no timeouts. I mean, we were in a great spot. You know, we just gave them another chance, and it hurts because it's one of those moments where you're going to be thinking about what we could have done better in the last few possessions so many times, all night long, all tomorrow, till the next game. So it's terrible.
An exhausted LeBron James, though, actually needed help getting out of the interview chair when he was done. He poured his heart and soul into Game 6.
Oh, it was by far the best game I've ever been a part of. The ups and downs, the roller coaster, the emotions, good and bad, throughout the whole game. To be a part of something like this is something you would never be able to recreate once you're done playing a game, and I'm blessed to be a part of something like this. You know, and I'm happy about the way we dug down and was able to get a win that didn't look like we could muster up at some point in the game.
He hit a big three late. Ray Allen hit a big three with 5.2 seconds to go to send it into overtime. And longtime observers say that the San Antonio-Miami game, Game 6, is one of the better NBA games they have ever seen in their lifetime.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about how...
I didn't see it, but, you know.
Well, you talked about how exhausted he was. I mean, when he sat there through the whole interview, instead of letting the mic sit on the table and leaning up toward it as most of the players would in a... He actually took the mic off the stand, leaned back, and almost reclined because he was so exhausted.
Sure. Well, exactly. He was gassed. I don't blame him for being gassed. You know, it's June 19th now. Tomorrow will be June 20th. They've been playing since September 29th. And they've been extended. They had to go seven games with Indiana. Now they're going to go seven games with San Antonio. Two quality teams. At the very least, regardless of outcome tomorrow night, the NBA has at least shown it's more than a one-trick pony. They're not just the Miami Heat and 29 other teams.
That's 9 months.
Yeah, I know.
Is the baseball season that long?
No, baseball's 6 months.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, even if you throw in spring training, it's what, eight?
Yeah. Yeah, basketball's longer. You know, they spread 82 games out, and the travel's brutal. I mean, you know, you look at baseball, for example. You know, the Pirates are playing a three-game series with Cincinnati. You know, the Phillies just had a 10-game road trip, but the 10-game road trip was three cities. Okay? In the NBA, you can play five cities in a span of 10 days. Then come back home. So you can play five cities, 10 days. In baseball, yeah, the Phillies just had a 10-game road trip. That's tough, but they played in three cities. Get there, unpack, settle in, play, settle in, play. Okay, repack because you're going to get away, get out of there. But at least you're settled in the same spot for 3 days. NBA is not like that. Neither is the NHL. You are bouncing from city to city.
The NHL season is so long, there's no ice anywhere, even in Canada, by the time they finish playing.
Well, yeah, but that's because of the lockout. That's why this is happening. I mean, the NHL season under normal circumstances would have ended 2 weeks ago. 2.5 weeks ago, even. That's when it was supposed to end. Under a normal, let's start September 30th and then go all the way through. That's when they would have ended, because they've never ended after the NBA. I did something unusual the other night. I did a Spikes game, got in the car Monday night, the first time I've ever left a Spikes game, and I had a Stanley Cup final game on my radio. Driving home. Never happened before, but because of the lockout, they've had to go longer.
All you needed was a Canadian football game available to you, and you had all the major sports right there. Did they start up in Canada yet? I don't know. I have to look that up.
Not even they know, to be frank with you. Not even they know. Our number is from Hilscher's General Stores, 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. We're going to be talking with Tony Knopp, business side of sports, 335 today. Kevin's rant is at 440. And people have asked me, I notice you don't have a guest usually in the final half hour. That's because the rant is there. Although when you were gone and we were rantless, I did have a guest in the 430 half hour.
Well, you're more than welcome to have a guest there. That doesn't
matter. No, it's fine. You now have America, not just the Valley, but America.
I'm sure.
Wanting to hear your rant. You speak for the fan.
And I'm proud to do that. By the way, the Canadian Football League starts on Thursday, June 20th with the Alouettes and the Argonauts.
It's tomorrow.
You're right.
Oh, boy.
This month has blown by, I'm telling you.
It's a long show. Oh, my goodness. Long show. Okay. Sure. And we get the rant at 440. I'm going to talk today about the Ed O'Bannon case, which goes to court tomorrow. I also want to talk about contraction versus expansion of sports. I'm going to talk about that today. Tony Knopp is going to step in. I'm going to talk to Tony today about why Marion may have seen its last major, even though they did a great job with it, and about the NFL expanding to an 18-game schedule. You have mixed feelings.
Of the NFL's expansion?
If they were to go to 18 games.
I do. I think I'm more concerned about adding more teams in the playoffs than I am a longer season. But if you take away one of the preseason games, it's not so bad for me.
One. Bag two. Come on. Two of those games are worthless. It's really legalized stealing that it's on the season ticket package. I'm not kidding.
You should
I'm
get it for free. You shouldn't have to pay to go see those games.
You should not have to pay to see a bunch of guys getting cut. Okay?
And it's worse if your team is playing in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, you get an extra one.
Right. And that game, you don't see anybody for more than a series of the guys that are actually going to be playing in the season.
Yeah, but you don't see anybody more than a series playing in the first preseason game anyway.
That's true.
All right? That's standard. The third one's the one you actually see the majority of time.
And then the fourth one, you barely see anybody.
No, you see nobody. There is not one team playing a starter in the fourth preseason game.
I wonder what television ratings for football are impressive. But I wonder what the television preseason ratings are.
They're good. They win.
Yeah, but I mean after the second half starts. How many people tune out?
Quarter hour? Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people tune out at that point.
I do. I'm not proud to say it.
Now playing quarterback, Brian St. Pierre. Okay, great. Oh, look, Bing Bang Theory's on.
I mean, I love football. I absolutely love football, but I'm not proud of the fact that I do tune it out at the start of the second half.
Wow. No, you shouldn't be proud of that. That's disgusting. No, I'm just kidding.
Listen, I want to meet the person that knows who the fourth running back is on the depth chart before the cut.
Here is what I believe to be the compromise between the two sides, because the union doesn't want it, and the union is justified because the season's brutal in terms of the length of it and so forth. Okay? And you're obviously more open to injuries. This may be the compromise. Okay, we'll let you have 18 games, but the roster must be expanded to 50.
That's an outside-the-box thought.
If you let each franchise have five additional guys, which means those five additional guys could be on special teams, taking some of those hits, okay? You're also expanding the NFLPA's rank and file by 160 individuals. 160 dues-paying individuals. To me, that is the compromise. And the NFL can afford to pay those five because you have the two extra games. Because these are not going to be your high-end guys. They'll be making the NFL minimum. Just some thoughts. Don't forget, 70 minutes away from the rant. Should be a beauty. Tony Knott next to talk about the business side of sports on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Now I've had it confirmed that Kevin is in the studio in Sunbury. I've unlocked the door here at the Chateau.
Letting the breeze come in? Is that what you're doing?
I just have certain standards. And, by the way, Mark Lawrence, Drew Kelly, Allie Stevens, Cody Jade, Sarah Bartlett, Sean Carey, open door policy. Yeah. Hilsa's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. One of these days, we should have Sarah run the show there, and you do the show here.
Okay, I'm up for that.
Well, you should do one show here in the studio with me.
That's fine.
Thought you'd be more excited.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to July when we make the trip up to the Tricky Triangle.
That'll be a lot of fun, yeah. How long is that show?
2 hours. Okay. Same as every other one.
5:01, I'll be in the highway. All right. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's talk about the business side of sports. There's a lot to talk about. My good friend Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, joins us. Tony, welcome back. It's great to have you with us on the Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Steve, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. We did the show last week from the U.S. Open at Marion. And then I went back and covered the Open over the weekend beyond doing the show. Marion had not had the Open in 32 years. I thought, considering the confinement of the property and what they had to do with private properties, I thought they handled it corporately about as well as they could. How difficult a task is it from the corporate side to do what Marion did? And after, even though they pulled it off well, what are their odds of their ever getting it again?
You know, it's actually very difficult. Those events are starting to grow into a different kind of event. When they announced Marion a few years back, I remember the discussion was, this was one of the first ones they were going to have in years where there's not 36 holes, all right next to each other with then enough space on top of that for the media tent and the corporate hospitality. In fact, the corporate hospitality was a fairly generous portion, smaller than it's been in years past. So the feedback we've seen from it has been it was a success. I have been hearing from many, many people in the know that it is unlikely it will go back just because of the fact that there's so much money left on the table from having to downsize grandstands, from having to downsize some of the hospitalities. And, you know, unless they can figure out a way to make an event like the Masters, you know, where they can charge so much money, it makes sense to have such a limited event. I just don't know if they're going to be back to a circumstance where they can't have the gigantic crowds that they had at the Olympic Club or at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, in 3 years it's going to be at Oakmont on the other side of the state in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They are well set up to do exactly what you're talking about.
And I think that is a concern for Marion. So what Marion's got is they've got such a rich history and so many important championships there, both for the amateurs and for everybody else, that they're always going to have that kind of linchpin. But the problem is you're starting to see sport outgrow what it once was, and not just in golf, but across the board. You know, Marion is quickly becoming Ebbets Field, or is becoming, you know, the arena that doesn't have the luxury suites. And it's concerning, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, maybe if it moves back to a little bit more television and golf, maybe they'll get back to Marion at some point. But I just don't see it coming back just with the proximity to Oakmont and with the proximity to some of the other events, not to mention that, you know, it's difficult to get that much corporate dollar out of it without that much space.
Well, people asked in the opening three rounds why they started at 1 and 11 instead of 1 and 10. And, of course, being there, I can at least give you some insight as to why. They offered a property owner at the 10th tee $2,500 to have the players go through his yard and through a chute and start at the 10th tee. He refused. He said, I want more money. If the corporate guys on the other side over in Golf House Road are getting X amount, I want to get my fair share. And the USGA looked at him and said, look, we just want to walk them through there to start at 10, $2,500. He said no. So what the USGA right. did was they tarped it in such a way that this guy built a platform above the tarp and he had a big party there.
Yep. He had his own Wrigley rooftop going. It's kind of the same kind of setup, right, where you have somebody not affiliated with the event that builds their own access to the event. And, you know, what was really interesting about it and looking at the layout and understanding who was moving where and how far the media tent was from where people finished. Like, for example, Phil Mickelson didn't go to the media tent after his first round. He shot in the 60s after that terrific story where he went to his daughter's graduation. Right. And it was because it was a 15-minute ride in a cart, and then he'd have to get back in a van and fight traffic back. He was looking at least an hour round trip.
Oh, Tony, I know, because I was sitting in the media center in round three when Woods was done, and you know, I decided not to take the media shuttle over and just and whatever question I wanted to ask, we were allowed to ask from the media center once it was designated. Because going out, even though I had locker room access, he had to shuttle over to get over there and then go back to the media center.
Yeah, and those kinds of things. Unfortunately, with what sport is becoming, we are starting to lose some of that gem of sports, so to speak, right? There are so many, you know, things that are so important and rich to the history of a lot of different sports that they're just getting outgrown, right? The Boston Garden with the marquee floor got outgrown. You know, Fenway Parks had to continue to try to grow and grow and grow on top of what they're doing. Now they're talking about making big changes to Wrigley. Marion, which is one of the most historical courses out there, the corporate set loves it. As far as the location goes, it's in a terrific location. Mm-hmm. You're close enough to everybody in New Jersey, everybody in New York, all the corporations around that can get there. It's actually a big draw. The problem is you can't build any more on top of it. It is maxed out. So it was an extremely successful event. The golf course held up. Everybody thought it was going to be, rendered obsolete by the big hitters and the new balls, but you know, in the end, you know, even some of the players are coming back and saying, you know, it was difficult to get around.
It was difficult for them to get around, and they, when starting at 11, actually, it was logistically easier. It was the players had to build in 20 minutes to go from the practice range to whatever tee they were starting from. You shouldn't have
there
to build.
There were a number of players I understand who were warming up 30 minutes away.
Yeah, and that's what they had. Now, as for the corporate tents, they use front yards on Golf House Road, and for example, the 14th tee corporate area. They built one of the platforms and entertainment areas around a tree to do that. Now, that's first of all, it's very difficult to do, but the ambiance was great. But to go back to your point, Tony, there's only so big a yard can be.
Exactly. It's not built that direction. I mean, if you look at what people don't understand, and you know, you do clearly because you've been there and you understand it, is when you look at a situation like Bethpage, when you look at a situation like Torrey Pines, when you look at a situation like the Congressional, when you look at those situations where you have such an expansive space and such a large facility already there, and then you try to compare that to Marion, you really start to understand the logistical difference. Because the common fan is going to look at it and say, but it's Marion. It's the Wicker. It's where these things should be played. It's our history. But then you start to understand how much goes along with a U.S. Open, with a Super Bowl, with, you know, which is why the Super Bowl hasn't been back to San Diego recently.
Right.
There's too much going on. The sport is outgrowing its roots, and it's outgrowing some of the places that we've known. So though there's a lot of kicking and screaming about, you know, municipalities funding new buildings in different places so that they can get these large events, when you actually talk to people who do these large events for a living, it's necessary.
Yeah, next year it goes to Pinehurst number 2. They know how to do it. They've done it before. After that, it's Chambers Bay near Seattle, and I know nothing about Chambers Bay except what I've read on the web. Oakmont, I've covered the U.S. Open at Oakmont, and for example, you're talking about the media setup. You literally walk off the 18th green, and you walk into the media center. It's right next to the green.
Right, and I assume Chambers will be the same. I've been up there. It's expansive. There's a lot going on. It's a very, very large setup. It's like the setups that we've seen for the Open in the years past. The only exception, really, outside of Marion, is the Olympic Club is not the biggest place either. They do have a bigger setup. They do have more holes. But when you compare, like, the Olympic Club to a Torrey Pines or to, you know, some of the other places where they have the U.S. Open, it's not as large. But then you compare Marion to, you know, they were doing a lot of attendance comparisons between Marion and the Olympic Club, and I don't think that's the appropriate comparison. I think the appropriate comparison is between Marion and Bethpage, which is not far away,
right?
And, you know, Pinehurst, which has five courses and, you know, a number of different places where they just have the ability to set up as they need.
Let's get to the Tiger Woods part of it. When it comes to fans, and this is an observation I made, because, you know, I saw Tiger play several holes. I saw Phil Mickelson play several holes. Mickelson's fans legitimately, like, they're really fans of Mickelson. I mean, they're legitimate. Mm-hmm. It's like a college crowd. Tigers fans are more of, this is the best player in the world, and you could argue he's one of the top five players of all time, so I follow him. It's more of a professional mm-hmm. crowd. What does it mean corporately when he's in contention versus corporately when he's not even in the tournament? Like, say, Travelers this week.
It is incredibly difficult to explain to the common fan how big a difference it is. I mean, when you look at the commercials, when you look at, you know, the coverage, you figure, yes, okay, Tiger is bigger. But look, Phil is a star, too. And so are all these young guys, and we should be focused on them. The reality is Tiger Woods can triple the price for an event overnight.
No doubt.
And he's the only guy who can do that. There is nobody else who can do that. I mean, you could set up a Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, you know, Adam Scott finale, which some would argue would be three of the biggest draws out there, and they won't draw anywhere near Tiger Woods against some qualifier.
Right.
Playing in a playoff, right? And by not close, I mean when you're talking about prices on the secondary market on the hospitality side, tents go from $10,000 to $50,000 overnight.
Right. I mean, Tony, it's exponential. It's exponential what he means. The way I can relate it to the common fan is this. A lot of common fans are pretty good about looking at TV ratings. Look at the TV rating when Tiger Woods is in contention versus not in the tournament.
Right. 100%. And he changes the game on the corporate side like nobody in right. any other sport. I mean, nobody in any other sport changes the game like he does. LeBron James is starting to see some of that when he travels, right? They're starting right. to see some of the prizes grow the way they were growing. But there's been a lot of discussion right now about how the ticket price in Miami is five times the ticket price in San Antonio. Tiger Woods draws big prizes in San Antonio like yeah. LeBron James can't.
No,
I mean, he has more of an effect on his sport with a corporate set than any other player in any other league.
That's why I felt, it was just a personal opinion, that when he was making his, quote, comeback, I felt he owed it to the game a bit, because to go to some places he had not gone to before, that he owes it to the fans to go a couple places. This is a tough week. Like, Justin Rose is playing Travelers this week.
Right.
Phil Mickelson has won Travelers before. Tiger Woods has not once set foot on the property there.
No. Nope.
In his career.
Yeah. And you wonder, sometimes there's stories about those things, right? Like, Serena and Venus Williams will not play. There used to be a local tournament here in Carson, which is right. now the StubHub Center.
Yeah.
And Serena and Venus won't play there. And they won't play in Palm Springs either, which is one of the biggest tournaments of the year. And they get everybody. They get Federer and Nadal and Djokovic and no Williams twins. Or no Williams twins. No Williams sisters. And you wonder if there's a story behind that. But you are 100% correct. You know, you have the PGA Tour, which is trying everything they can to get these players to play in more events. They tried the FedEx Cup, you know, and a $10 million purse.
Right.
I mean, I would challenge guys who follow golf to name who won the FedEx Cup 3 years ago. You probably could, but I'm saying most people can't, right, when it first showed up.
Right.
You know, many people say, oh, Jim Furyk hasn't done anything in forever. He just won the FedEx Cup. That's a $10 million prize. But it doesn't drive the players to play, and it's hurting a lot of the events. Like, for example, the tournament the week following the Masters in Hilton Head is, you know, historically one of the better tournaments, and it has died because the Masters guys aren't going there anymore.
Right. Right. Well, I'll give you an example. Adam Scott, when he played the U.S. Open, was only his eighth tournament of the year.
So yeah.
He's played eighth the entire year. We're in June.
Yeah, he's become somebody who doesn't play on the PGA Tour often. And, you know, he splits his time. He lives in Australia. He doesn't. He lives in Switzerland for tax reasons. And, you know, he lives a rough life. His GQ model living in Switzerland for tax reasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, these guys, the PGA is doing everything they can to try to create a scenario where these guys will play in more tournaments. And it's just simply not working.
Because of the
And the problem is the appearance fees are also coming up. I mean, Tiger skips major events to go play in Dubai, right? And it's because the check is too big. You can't say no to that.
Oh, well, that's why when Mickelson was talking about flying back and forth for his daughter's graduation, he said, I was used to it because he does it six times a year for corporate events.
Yeah, I believe it. And that's the one thing people don't realize is most of these guys on the Monday, which is events, have corporate events. They go out and play golf with all the bankers. It's one of the most common things that we see. It's, you know, Chase does it every Monday, and most of these guys, they have a golf outing that they go to that adds to their travel schedule. And if they can't book that outing, that corporate side around the actual event, then it's more likely they're going to skip the event.
One of the areas of sports which is can be considered legalized stealing is preseason football.
Oh, man.
Because when you buy your season tickets, it includes the games in the preseason as well. The NFL has considered, and the union has balked at it, an 18-game schedule. If they were to go from 16 to 18 and thus cut down the number of preseason games, what would it mean to sponsors and to the business side of it and to corporate entities?
I would say seeing the numbers we see, right? So for every NFL game ticket we see in our system, there's 6 million tickets in our system. And just for the listeners, you know, the companies make them available to their staff and to their guests. Just some numbers to show the demand. For every Major League Baseball ticket, there's usually like one person that wants to go to a game, about one. Same thing with the NBA. The NHL is just under 1-to-1, right? About, you know, 9.9 people for every one ticket, one of the game. For the NFL, it's 5.5-to-1. So not only are they not oversaturating the market, they're nowhere close, right? They have five people for every single ticket that's out there that want to go to a game in our system, which shows that adding these two games will just add dollars. You know, there's always going to be that concern that are we going to oversaturate? Are we going to create a scenario like the Legends Club in Yankee Stadium or, you know, other places where we've overestimated how much of the corporate set is going to be part of what we're doing? I don't think the NFL is close to that. I think there's money there, and quite honestly, they'll find a way to get to that money.
Well, when you're talking about the league with great popularity, but already plays the fewest games to begin with, you're not even close to the oversaturation part. Yankee Stadium, they're playing 81 games a year. Okay, the New York Giants across the river playing 9.
Yeah, exactly, and that's assuming the Yankees don't make the playoffs, right? You can go another, 19 games on top of that.
Right.
You can go an entire NFL season on top of your regular season. And, you know, I understand it, right? Clearly the players, their careers are shorter.
Yeah.
It's incredibly physically demanding on them. They've got a real problem with concussions. But there is so much money in it that I believe that they will find a middle ground that will allow the players to share in those dollars, that will eliminate the third and fourth preseason games, which – you know, the reality, those who follow the sport know the second and the fourth game are a waste. Right?
Yes.
The fourth game, nobody
plays
in.
Total waste. Total waste. Fourth, I mean, nobody plays in the fourth.
No. And I think they're going to eliminate those. I think they're going to, you know, the other thing people don't see is that these teams, they already scrimmage each other, right?
Exactly.
Most of the teams travel to another team's camp and have a half-pads run-through scrimmage. So it's not the first, it's not going to, I don't believe, affect the quality of the game in any way at all. But the question is saturation. Will the corporate set pay what they're paying now for two more games in a season? And the answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah, no question. In fact, the Steelers at St. Vincent and Latrobe scrimmage the Redskins all the time. They always have.
Exactly.
You know, and so that's happening. The next part of this is the NFL is forming their own investment arm to help them grow. I mean, they're not even – I mean, this is the giant just getting bigger.
Yeah, genius is what it is. So basically what they've done is they've partnered with an equity firm. And what they're doing is saying, look, we're building all of these massive businesses around our popularity. So there's video game franchises that are groaning into the billions of dollars based on the NFL. That the NFL doesn't exist. There's helmet manufacturers. There's, you know, shoulder pad manufacturers. All these different things that go along with the NFL that tie into the league itself, which creates the growth possibility for these businesses. So what the NFL is doing, which is genius, is saying, instead of you just paying us for the right to be, you know, the NFL sponsor or whatever that is, you know, Microsoft just paid them $400 million so that they'll have tablets on the sidelines. Basically, Microsoft is saying, we have to fight the iPad. Let's put a Surface tablet into the hands of, you know, all of the Pittsburgh Steelers coaches. Mm-hmm. That should get people wanting to buy our product.
Right.
Now, what the league has done is saying to these other companies and these startup companies, why don't we get a piece of your business while we're at it? Right? Why don't we invest a little bit in what you're doing and we can all grow together? And now, not just sponsorship dollars coming my way, but as your business is growing around the NFL, I'm going to get exponential dollars in return. I'm going to introduce you to all of these people with my brand and my shield that everybody loves. And it's just pure genius.
By the way, I think the compromise on the 18-game schedule is, I think if they looked at the union and said, look, we're going to allow 5 more roster spots because you'll need more players to get through the season. They would say we're going to give 5 more roster spots, because you and I both know that roster spots 46 through 50 would be, quote, the minimum wage. You know, I mean, you're talking 160 extra jobs for the rank and file. I think they'd go for it then.
Right, and that rank and file, the minimum in the NFL is certainly, you're certainly in the 1% if you're making the NFL minimum. So there's going to be no tears shed over that. And I do think that there's just too much money in it that they can't come to an agreement that will allow for the 18-game schedule. And it's why the owners keep bringing it up. I mean, the purists, going all the way back to our conversation about Marion, there's always going to be the purists. There's always going to be that this is what it's supposed to be like. Baseball is supposed to be 154 games. Football is supposed to be only 16 or fewer, as it's been in the past. But the reality is all of these sports will continue to chase the money. And as they chase the money, the 16-game schedule will go the way of the Marion U.S. Open, will go the way of Ebbets Field, will go the way of all these different things we've seen just outgrown by the enormity of the world's biggest reality TV show that everybody wants to watch.
Well, just so everyone knows, Marion, of course, measured out at 6,992 yards, okay?
Yeah, we're calling that short.
Yeah. They're going to Ellen, Wisconsin in 2017. 7,800 yards.
That's me hitting driver on almost every hole, including some of the par threes. Yeah, 275-yard par three this last weekend on a short course.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun, Tony. Yeah, I'd be...
Hey. I'll be in the clubhouse.
You know, and there'll be moments where the 19th hole looks better and better.
Yeah, I birdie that hole generally after the big numbers I put on the big par threes.
Yeah, after the third drink, I birdied it. All right. Tony, thanks so much, my friend. It's always great to talk with you.
I appreciate it. Looking forward to catching up again.
Tony Knopp, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management. On the business side of sports, the side of sports that depresses the living daylights out of Kevin and takes away a slice of his childhood.
That it indeed does.
We'll come back and get your analysis after the news at the top of the hour, News Radio 1070 WKOK.